Good morning, everyone. I just want to first say thank you to Community Foundation Sonoma County for hosting this convening and really being an important part of helping inform the strategy of a disaster relief strategy that is the North Bay Fire Relief Fund, especially on the front of making it as equitable as possible. Conversations with the funder circle, Sonoma County, was key in the early days, and I just don't want to go any further without saying thank you for your support, and thank you for all our partners' support. And I want to call out United Way. Mike may have mentioned this, but his organization has done such a tremendous job getting dollars into the hands of fire victims. Through mid-month, there was about more than 3,500 checks being cut by United Way, and I just want to applaud Mike and his organization as well, and we're really thankful for doing that work with them. And then also you, the leaders. I know that many among you are victims yourselves and have dealt with the challenges of being fire victims and leaders at the same time. And we appreciate, and I appreciate, all that you've done to stay the course and to do this work. I have four slides to share with you this morning. And I have to admit, they're very robust. And I got the chance to work with a great young professional at Social Advocates for Youth previously too. Her name is Caitlin Childs, and Caitlin is here today to kind of listen in. And I'm sorry, Caitlin. Caitlin used to do these slides for me in the past, and I'm sorry they look so poor and so robust. This is going to be a long conversation in terms of our work together in doing this work as one community. This morning, again, thankful to be here and to be able to be here with you. There's going to be lots of questions I'm sure is going to come up. I'm going to stay afterwards and join the small group discussions. I'll stay a little while longer. I have a lot of business cards with me. We can set up conversations, phone calls, grab a cup of coffee, because I think every conversation I've had with you folks in the room, or every email I've received from folks in the room, has been really helpful. It's been very formative. And so, some of the things we've been learning about in terms of doing this work is the importance of relationship and the importance of communication. And if we're going to be moving from relief to recovery to rebuild, we're going to have to continue strengthening those bonds. And so I really do want to hear from you. And so I look forward to continuing the conversation even beyond this morning. With that being said, just to share some brief details in terms of the North Bay Fire Relief Fund, you can see there that it's focused on disaster relief, 100% to victims through individual grants, as well as services. And I believe this slide deck is going to be sent to everyone, too. And so I see some note takers out there, which I appreciate, because I'm one of you as well. But this will be shared with you, too. We've been focusing on the four impacted counties. So obviously, Sonoma County is one of them. But also focusing our support in terms of disaster relief on Lake, Napa, and Mendocino, too. Been focusing on grant making, both on the individual side and organizationally. Fire victims who've lost their homes, as well as experiencing economic hardship. The businesses as well, who've been loss of facility or disruption to business, we've been supporting. And the community well-being overall, holiday support, for example, in athletic leagues. And for nonprofits, there is a process that's opened up, which I can share a little bit more about in a moment. But focusing on supportive services, and I can give more examples of that in a minute. But this bridge to recovery strategy as well is going to be something that's very important to the North Bay Fire Relief Fund. And so working with our partners and making sure that we're building this connective tissue, linking the North Bay Fire Relief Fund to the Resilience Fund in recovery and so on to rebuild, so that our communities, especially those who need it the most, are getting the support through this long process in this collective journey that we're all on. Again, robust slides. The initial grant making commenced on October 16th. The Redwood Credit Union Fund Board, the Redwood Credit Union Community Fund Board is the ultimate decision making in the process, with the advisory committee made up of Redwood Credit Union CEO Brett Martinez, Steve Falk from Sonoma Media Investments, and Senator Mike McGuire, providing advice into those decisions and providing information collected from the ground and from various organizations in the community to help inform those decisions. And then this is that nonprofit application process that I was discussing a moment ago. And I'm hoping that many of you have received word that this nonprofit granting process went live just a few days ago. It'll be open through December 11th. And you can see the priorities listed there. And just to kind of give you some examples of those priorities, basic needs, including food security and housing preservation and shelter, health and community well-being specific to fire victims, including behavioral health services and medical care, transportation, continuity of social services impacted by fire, case management, case coordination, child care, elder care, emergency financial assistance, economic hardship, loss of home. And the grants will range up to $300,000. And the gathered data that we're receiving through this granting process will be used also to help inform recovery strategies moving forward. So it's really important that we hear from you again. And then also the general operating support. This is something that's really important, and I hear that echoed even before we got to today, obviously, in having this conversation. But for many of you who reached out to me, which I appreciate, this North Bay Fire Relief Fund was built on a strategy that was used in 2015 and 2016 in Lake County, where a lot of that direct assistance to both fire victims and nonprofits was on such a smaller scale. And we were surprised and shocked by how significant the fund became, by just the continued generosity of really worldwide friends, as well as the needs in terms of individual fire victims and households, and also the number of nonprofits supporting that population. And so, you know, what we've learned is that we need to do something about general operating and developing some type of support there. And in regards to that, Tipping Point Community is considering providing general operating support to local nonprofits engaged in relief work as a complement to the North Bay Fire Relief Fund. And so we're working on that process and that planning now, and just want you to know that, again, it's very important that we hear from you, because you've been informing this conversation, and we appreciate that. And then the ramp down target for the North Bay Fire Relief Fund is May 31st. Our goal is to be able to get all the dollars out the door by that time. And so, again, this is something that we want to make sure that as we develop this strategy in connecting the work from the relief fund to recovery, that we are backing into that strategy. And we're making sure that as the North Bay Fire Relief Fund is essentially ramping down, the recovery strategy is ramping up. And so that connective tissue is built, because we know that's very important too. And another thing that's very important is that I've heard from some of you as leaders and as partners that year-end appeal and those critical year-end appeals for your organizations may have been and probably likely been impacted by this fundraising for fire relief and fire recovery. And we want to know that. You know, there is this conversation about the North Bay Fire Relief Fund, which is one entity. And then there's a Redwood Credit Union Community Fund, which is a different entity. And Redwood Credit Union as an organization, we have work to do regarding 2018 in terms of what our community giving is going to be like. And so knowing how your organization is being impacted in regards to its fundraising, in terms of year-end appeal, if you had a fundraiser that needed to be canceled or rescheduled, we want to know that as well, because that's very important information, and I'm sure we'll be gathering that as a community as well. Again, this PowerPoint will be shared, and I know this table here is enjoying the detail. So this was through November 18th. At that time, the fund had raised a little more than $21 million. And this has been something as of an outpouring of support from literally all over the world. We've seen friends and donations coming in as far away as China. I think we kind of knew what was going on, or had a sense what was going on, where maybe on October 9th or the 10th, we received an email from a restaurateur in Wisconsin who had just happened to be planning a wine dinner at their restaurant and wanted to donate the proceeds to the North Bay Fire Relief Fund. And so there's been a great outpouring of support and care for us and for our communities, and that's all a reflection of you as well. Through the 18th of this month, total dollars distributed has been 13.6. So $13.6 million, $200,000 to first responders, $525,000 to support urgent food needs, as well as immediate short and midterm housing for fire victims, over $1 million to support students who lost their homes, $7 million to support people who lost homes in regards to individual grant making in collaboration, again, with United Way here locally, which we appreciate. An additional $3.28 million has been committed to helping folks dealing with the economic hardship related to the North Bay fires, whether they lost their job or had their income disrupted. And we've been working with these organizations to do that. United Way of the Wine Country, again, the Center for Volunteer and Nonprofit Leadership, Community Action Partnership, La Luz, UndocuFund, North Coast Opportunities, and California Human Development. We've committed $1 million to support businesses, as I mentioned earlier, in regards to supporting them through this time, whether they've lost a facility and or have had disruption to their business. And then in overall, essentially $374,000 to support holidays, holiday giving for folks that have lost their homes and been impacted in terms of their economic hardship and may need help, and doing that in conjunction with Secret Santa, and as well as supported a small grant for the Rincon Valley Little League to be able to help them replace all the equipment that was lost in the fire. So there's a lot of detail here. And again, this is something in terms of this conversation we want to continue. And I want to hear your questions. And I want to be able to have coffee with you and want to know what you're thinking and what you're experiencing, what you're hearing in regards to the fire victims that are out there and that need that immediate relief, because in that way, in this work, we're absolutely in it together. Thank you.
Okay, Darius Anderson from Rebuild North Bay. And jot your questions down, please.
Thank you very much. I want to start with a couple of thank yous. I think this affected everybody very personally. I was in the Tubbs fire the night the fire broke out, and I had to evacuate my mom and dad that night. And we were surrounded on three sides at my place. Two nights later, my mom had a stroke, and I ended up at the hospital at Memorial. And I will tell you, you know, we've talked a lot about first responders, and they get a lot of the credit, the law enforcement agencies. But for everybody that worked in the hospitals and the emergency services, I want to say a special thank you. because in walking into Memorial that night with my mom, it looked like a war zone. Todd didn't have beds for the most basic needs. And so I want to give a round of applause to everybody, the nurses, the docs. And then, you know, I have the good fortune or misfortune of living in Sonoma County, but having to work in San Francisco and other places. And by having Daniel Lurie and Daniel Lurie's leadership at Tipping Point is a unique thing. Because the Lurie family has been charitable not just on the short term, but the Lurie family has been charitable for, you know, over 40 years and going ahead and changing the communities in which they operate. And to have Daniel Lurie and the Benioffs and the Giants and all the other companies that got involved in the concert is a really big impact to our community, because unlike as we've done research to look at other natural disasters across the country, Houston has corporate headquarters, Florida has corporate headquarters, Louisiana has corporate headquarters, and we are a small community that is really revolves around tourism, the wine, and then smaller businesses, less on the corporate headquarters side. So I want to say a special thank you to Daniel and everything that Daniel's doing at Tipping Point, for all that they're going ahead and bringing to the table. So Daniel, thank you.
Thank you.
And then Matt's leadership and Brett Martinez has really been above the fold. What Matt doesn't tell you is that all of the all of the costs that are going into this, the Redwood Credit Union is donating. And so they have a tremendous amount of people that are working on this, and I think it shows how rooted they are in our community and how important it is that we get out, as he showed you in the slide, 100% of those proceeds to the people in need. And I will tell you, as the managing member of the Press Democrat, it's been a true honor to work side by side with everyone at Redwood Credit Union, because their professionalism, their commitment to the cause, and their vision has really meant a lot. And I want to say thank you to you. And I also want to say thank you to everyone at the Press Democrat, because to date, you know, the number of overtime hours that photographers and reporters trying to bring you the news and to go ahead and disseminate information to the community has really gone above and beyond anything we ever expected from the staff. And so they have done an amazing job. So thank you to them. When I started this idea on day two, because having been involved in a few natural disasters with a former governor, I realized that there was, you know, you break natural disasters, as people has referenced, into sort of that, you know, crisis, recovery, and rebuild. And when you look at it on a macro level, it doesn't matter if it's in our community, nationally, or internationally, there are those three phases. And in the three phases, you know, we rely, the funders, on people like you, because you know how to do it best. And we wouldn't pretend to know how to touch the number of people and deliver the services the way that you do. But having been involved with past natural disasters, I knew that after 6 months, that people start to fall back into their own lives, their own patterns, and really between 6 months and 5 years is the most crucial time when problems pop up. And I can tell you today that we don't know what those problems are going to be yet. And so we took the approach, unlike everybody else at the table, that we weren't going to rush out and try to compete with all of you and all of them for money, because that wasn't fair, and we wanted to make sure the end of the year giving plans were done, that we wanted to take our time to build a thoughtful organization, to pull in experts from around the country that have much more experience than we do in our community, and to really partner with, because if you look at private sector giving versus public sector giving, The fact of the matter is only 5 to 7% of the funds that come from private sector giving fill the gaps. The majority of the money we're going to need to rebuild our community is going to have to come from the partnership of the federal government, the state government, and local government. And what we really felt, because we are a small community, unlike a Houston or a Miami, where you have thousands and thousands of major businesses, we need to look at advocacy both at the federal level, state level, and local level, and making sure what we were doing was complemented those policy leaders right now that are leading us. And so I want to commend everybody that is going to work for the first 6 months, but I want to be very clear, that was not our objective. We didn't want to compete with all of you, and we surely didn't want to go ahead and compete with them. Where's the button here? Is this it? So this is the structure, and there was some misinformation in the early days about what we were and what we were not. We are, the key organization is a 501c3 that will be structured in this way. There'll be a board of directors. Mike Thompson has agreed to go ahead and be the honorary co-chair. And then we're asking every elected official, because remember, this is a public-private partnership. We really believe that if we are going to go ahead and meet that, you know, ultimate goal of building back greener, cleaner, and stronger than before the fires, we have to have our people in the public sector as our partners. And so every one of the boards or the impacted cities will be asked to go ahead and serve as co-chairs. And then already we've had over 300 people that have gone ahead and asked to be on the advisory board, and we want to go ahead and make sure that we build a very diverse board that's represented regionally, every impacted area. And we're not just looking at Sonoma County, we're looking at Napa County, we're looking at Lake and Mendo. And we really believe that when you go to Washington, understanding how the funding works, the check will not be written to Sonoma County, Napa County. It will be written in the law to the fire victims of Northern California, meaning that we will have to advocate as a coalition. We've also put together a number of key committees that we think are going to be important in that 6 month to 5 year time period. And just as Daniel mentioned, you know, we are in that listening stage. We've had a ton of meetings. I'm leaving here to go meet with all the labor leaders in Sonoma County to talk to them about what their concerns are. And we're trying to go ahead and meet with as many people to make sure when this gets formalized that we've heard everybody's concerns and what it is. And so when the mission statement gets finally done, it will represent all of your interests and everyone that is going to be in need long term. So on the short term goal, one of the things that people have said to us is that there needs to be a coordinator, because if you talk to the Board of Supervisors in, you know, Napa, Sonoma, the other counties, there is a huge number of meetings that are occurred, just like this meeting today. And there is not one clearinghouse. And so we are working right now with the County of Sonoma, the County of Napa, Mendo and Lake to talk to them about one individual. And we believe, you know, and when I say we, it's the collective folks that are on the board, that that individual should come from within the public sector and be on loan to us, and then we will reimburse the public sector for that individual, but somebody that knows the water district, the housing agencies, you know, all of those important organizations that are going to be key and crucial to getting the money from the federal and the state and then dispersing them out to the people that are in need. Advocacy. We do believe that that is going to be one of the key factors, and there was some early confusion that I was putting together a C4. We have put together a C4, and the reason for that, everybody in this room knows, is there's only a certain percentage of money that you can go ahead and spend as a C4 on your lobbying efforts in Washington or Sacramento, and that we really believe, based on the current politics in Washington, D.C., that we are going to need help on that front. And if we can't do it through the C3, we will have a C4, and we will fund it when it's needed at the appropriate time. We hope the elected officials will do the right things, but I think many of you have been reading the early signs coming out of the administration and from other places is that they're not treating us the same way they are other states. And so we believe as an organization that needs to change. Housing, you know, every single meeting, every single email that we've gotten keeps coming back, housing, 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 housing. What are we going to go ahead and do to make the short term, the interim, and the long term goals? And so this is something that we won't necessarily do ourselves, but we will partner with community leaders that are experts in these fields, as well as bringing in folks on the national level that understand. For example, we had a meeting yesterday with six different advisors from throughout the country, and the just recently retired head of Louisiana's emergency services was there, and he was talking about FEMA and what they cover, but how HUD has all sorts of emergency dollars that you don't know where they're squirreled away, and you really have to be able to go ahead and tap into those dollars and make sure that you can get at them to go ahead and meet our needs. And I think we all know in this room, we had a housing shortage before the fires, and it was putting a lot of pressure on our employees and everyone else living in this community. And I think going forward, we gotta make sure that we get back to par what we lost, but we also have to make sure that we build additional housing. On the long-term goals, you can see sort of what we've put up there. And, you know, we really do believe that we have to learn from the fires of 64 and the fires of October and make sure that we go ahead and build safer, greener, stronger. And that's going to take, you know, all of us together working in this room, because the insurance money won't necessarily guarantee greener or smarter or stronger. And so we are working with both donors and a variety of other folks to put together various plans. I will finish with that, but I want to give one story, because the best case study that we found is the victims of the Oakland fires. Because they were a very limited group of people, only 400 homes that were burned. But through their own vision, they created both a master plan, they created something called a United Purchasing Organization. So if you think about every fire victim, they're gonna get short-term money to go ahead and do whatever. Once they get that house built, they're gonna have to go ahead and restock towels, you know, all the linen, silverware, all the things that were lost. If we can put together a collective buying and anybody that qualifies gets a 30 or 40% discount, that will help them get back to normal. Because as we all know, when you're furnishing your home, you don't do it in one day, you do it over a period of a lifetime. And when you've lost everything in your home that was over a period of a lifetime, people are gonna need help. So that's the vision for what Rebuild is gonna try to do. Thank you, and I'm looking forward to answering any questions.
You guys hanging in there? I know we're all talking about listening, and so far we've just been talking, but in just a few minutes we're going to get to this part of the program where we really want to hear your questions and then engage you in small groups. So just a reminder to hand around Karen's collecting and others, so put your questions on the note cards. So I'm still Beth Brown from Community Foundation, Sonoma County. So Sonoma County Resilience Fund is a fund that we set up on the second day of the fires. We did not already have a disaster fund, but we, like so many of you, sprang into action and thought, where and what is the value that we can add. Our core business is being a grant maker and working with hundreds of donors. We quickly learned from our community foundation network and talking to people like Daniel, who had been through 9/11, and Andrea from Northern California Grant Makers, who specializes in disaster philanthropy. Yes, there is a field of disaster philanthropy. We learned about the stages of giving and donor behavior and the stages of the recovery. And what we learned about the donor behavior that some have alluded to is that almost all, upwards of 70% of the private philanthropic funds contributed to disasters come in immediately, and about that same amount designated to go out immediately in the first 6 months. So we felt like we had a niche in actually setting up a fund for the mid to long term, which we're defining as 6 months to multiple years. And it does dovetail nicely with some of the efforts like Redwood Credit Union, who are investing more in the shorter term, and we can have some continuum of investment in that way. We really underestimated our donors and the donors from around the country. The first day we huddled together, we were all hands on deck fundraising, and we set out to make large asks of $10,000. And we pretty quickly started to get donations in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And it is not because of what we do, it's because of what you all do, and because of the love of this place. By people, others have alluded to this, but by people from around the Bay Area and from around the country. The wine industry has been especially generous, and we're a part of this community foundation network of foundations around the country. And, you know, we're usually holding on so tightly to the specialness of our place. But I felt like through this experience, there's been a borderlessness of sorts that's been really beautiful. And in talking to philanthropic leaders in other parts of the country, it's either that they've had an earthquake or a flood or a mass shooting, or they imagine they will in the future. So is there's this sense that we have to have each other's backs and donate to each other's communities when we're not the one suffering from the disaster. So we did make one round of early emergency grants, but our strategy will be to be patient. And it's hard to say you don't know what you're going to fund yet. We're all solution-oriented, and we're seeing a lot of problems. But I think Darius made a very good case of the importance of the mid- to long-term support. And I see that not just as a function of gathering and generating, you know, government and partnership funds, but the private philanthropic funds as well. Because we have a special place with philanthropic dollars in leveraging funds and figuring out what are those places where maybe the large government grants can't fund that we can use. Right now we have over $8 million. That's a lot of money. We're in a billions of dollar problem. So where can we really smartly and in a partnership way leverage those dollars? We'll be making our decisions like we make all of our decisions, which is based on data and our experience and listening, and also our values and putting equity at the center of everything we do, and that will be no different in this case. So I think I mentioned, we, in terms of our process and timeline, will be 6 months. We don't anticipate making another round of grants for 6 months. We'll be learning a lot from the grant making that's going on from the partners around the table. This convening is an example of a first step of listening and learning, of which we expect to have more of, and look for all the ways that we can engage you and your ideas. We'll be sharing all this from all of our regular channels of communication on our website and newsletters, and we really encourage you to reach out directly to me, to Karen Demarest, to Ellie Grogan. We're the key point people around the grants. Call us, email us. We would love to meet with you. Thank you, and now back to Wendy.
So any more questions, just go ahead and post them, and Karen's picking them up. I'm going to start with a question for the panel. When I first made the transition from moving from a nonprofit to philanthropy, the woman who interviewed me said, You know, giving out money isn't easy. Are you up for this? And I thought, what kind of question is that? Of course it's easy. And then I got into philanthropy and realized actually it's really challenging. So I'm curious, and what I've learned over the years is that your core values guide your decision making. And we heard a little bit from the panelists around what their values are and what's driving their decision making. But I wondered if folks would share on the panel just in two sentences a core value that you'd like to share and let folks know that is helping drive your decisions. And then we'll jump into some of the questions that have been then pulled from the audience. Anyone, go ahead.
I'll start. I because I mentioned it, equity is our core driving value, and to us that means some people need more to get the same.
I think for us it's looking at, you know, building it better, stronger, you know, and leaving a legacy better than we found it.
I think for us, especially for myself, in terms of the question Wendy's asking, just 7 months ago I was in your chair. And so it's been an incredible learning process. So your communication has been key. So communication and talking about what's happening and how it's looking on the ground has been really informative.
I think for us, listening, paying attention, and love, we love our community members. We love the people who live here and work here, and we depend on them.
I would say opportunity. We've always been about providing every single person with, you know, back to what Beth said, equity, just providing everybody with an opportunity. In this case, we have to give people the ability to rebuild, and so that'll be our focus.
Yeah, and I think equity definitely is going to ring loud and true for all of us, and it's a matter of how can we help out the most people as well, and looking at the funds that we have and make the biggest impact while supporting the most families.
Great, thank you. And in a minute, we're going to have small group discussions, and you're all going to share what values are driving you in the work that you're doing. So Karen, thankfully, has been synthesizing themes from the questions that you've been submitting. And she also came across a suggestion, and I just want to put this out to the group, that there's a suggestion that when we speak of folks who have been impacted by the fire, we're calling them survivors and not victims. And so we're in a new day, we're learning new language and new ways of moving forward. So I just wanted to offer that. Thank you for sharing that information for us. So some of the themes that have come up in the questions that were asked include themes around questions around equity, questions around data collection, general operating support, questions around how support will be prioritized for different sectors or groups of the community. So for example, around folks who are disabled, folks who are homeless, legal services, the environment, mental health, housing, and loans. There's questions around how are the funders going to coordinate themselves, and questions around how are we going to coordinate for unfortunate what potentially could be another disaster at some point. Questions around measuring success and defining what outcomes would look like. Support for indirect impacts, not just for fire, and Karen had wrote victims and then crossed it out and wrote survivors, so we're moving on that language change. Questions around support for long-term recovery needs, and then how will the community voice be included in the planning and prioritizing process? So those are the themes of the questions, and now I'm going to pose some specific questions to the panel. So how can we organize a coordinated, collaborative, community-wide needs assessment for short, medium, and long-term needs to inform all grant-making from all funders? So that's a biggie. And I'm sure you've all thought about this, actually, and curious about your thoughts.
Well, I will speak on the public side, because our key partner is going to be the public sector, because I think on the NGO side, you know, that will need to be done. But in a meeting yesterday with Napa and Sonoma County, that very issue came up. And the problem is, if we don't do that properly, we will not get the appropriate amount of funds from the federal or the state government. So the question is, how do we do that right? and make sure that we get the maximum dollars possible. And one of the things that we've talked about with the electeds is whether or not we can provide the funding, because any funding that has to come out of the general fund right now through the elected officials will be dollars that they can't deploy to emergency services, doing restoration work and all the things that they need to be doing right now. So we're dealing with that on the partnership with the elected officials.
Daniel?
I would just say that how we've been thinking about community-wide is how can we at Tipping Point listen to the needs, and so we've been having weekly calls with Matt, with Beth, with Terrence at Napa Community Foundation, with Megan at Mendo Community Foundation, and really trying to partner and figure out where, Matt is considering funding, where we should be. And then we're also leaning on Len at Catholic Charities, Amber at On the Move, and a number of others in this room and outside from throughout the community, and we hope that that group grows wider. As I said right off the bat, we're here listening to those of you that are on the ground day in and day out, and we're going to support the building of that infrastructure.
I'll chime in, and I think, you saw us pause after that question, and I don't know if everyone, my first thought was, why haven't I done that yet? You feel like you're not prepared, and then I feel like we all also have to cut ourselves some slack, that we are, as I keep saying, building this plane as we're flying it. And I think we've been doing some pieces. Daniel mentioned the coordination meetings we've had. We've been, Matt and I have been coordinating pretty closely. This convening is a first step in this. We really want to hear, we see nonprofit leaders as being part of that data in terms of telling us what the needs of your communities are. I think what the question is getting at is what is kind of the grand plan of needs assessment? And I think, and we can certainly take a leading role in this, and working with the county, I'd want to make sure we're not duplicating. So I want to be a little better informed about what the county is doing on a needs assessment. And then, like I was saying about leveraging, what data points are there that we can leverage to paint a full picture. We are going to commission a very comprehensive survey of nonprofit executive directors in January. That's going to be asking you about your reflections to date on the impact of the fires on everyone you serve, as well as on your organization.
We can be a small part of that, because our application process means that a person has a one-on-one meeting with a trained volunteer who's talking to them about what they need and documenting what they're hearing. So we'll have that kind of data about the undocumented community, and I know that many other agencies are collecting, like California Human Development, Catholic Charities, La Luz, they're doing the same and collecting data.
And also too, as leaders like yourselves apply for funds through the process that's gone live with the North Bay Fire Relief Fund in supporting fire survivors. We'll be using that data to help inform this strategy as well. So we'll be taking that, looking at what you're sharing in terms of the needs you're seeing in regards to fire survivors, and helping feed that overall needs assessment in the early going.
Great. Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, I think I'll finish it by saying I really thought that today was a good first step in that process. We need to hear from all of you. We're going to have the group breakouts. We're going to learn a lot from one another today. And I look at this as the first step in us communicating back and forth. It's going to be a two-way street. We're not going to make all the decisions at this table. We're going to be looking at all of you to give advice. And so I'd say, as you see the problems that are persisting and what's going on within your own organizations, please communicate it with us so that we can create the best plan going forward.
So the next question is a tough one, and I'm going to make it even more challenging by saying to please keep your response brief so that we can then move into the small group discussion. What is the model or criteria or method you will use to implement equity in your funding? Yeah, Mike.
I'll start with this one. What we did is we had an application process that went through, and a group of volunteers, a few of which are even in the room today, that looked over them. We asked what the income levels were of the entire family, how many people were living in the home, are they renters, are they owners, did they have insurance? And so we were able to look at all of this as we were making funding decisions. And then within the group, we could look at what are the needs, and as we're trying to make an equitable decision, we had a lot of that data sitting right in front of us so that we can make these decisions.
I think I go back to our focus, which is on what we believe are the hardest hit and low-income individuals and families. And we are focused on immigrants, documented and undocumented, in our funding. And the first 10 grants, I think, if you look and see where we've funded, our focus has been on that equity spirit.
Anyone else want to answer?
No. I just want to make a plug for the criteria in the study that we did as a community a few years ago, the Portrait of Sonoma, which I felt like was a really great definition of social determinants of health and community health in a broad way, and a portrait of the inequity in our community, and that we should go back and using some of that same language and criteria as we make the grants for fire recovery.
I guess all I can say is that's why we formed, was to make sure that there was an equity component in how this recovery takes place and in addressing the need of people who were affected by the fires.
And for the North Bay Fire Relief Fund, you know, we came out the gate very strongly and working with organizations like Mike's and now Susan's, to gather the information that we were hearing, even from the funder circle early on, in regards to what the needs were looking like on the ground, and making sure that we were doing all we can to get those dollars to those organizations doing that work as soon as possible. And so we're looking to continue doubling down on that as we move forward through this process with nonprofits applying for North Bay Fire Relief funds, but also to the decision-making process for those grants. There will be a grants committee form that will come from the community. It will be community-based. And so we're excited to add that layer in terms of supporting our equity work at the North Bay Fire Relief Fund as well.
Thanks. Thank you. So now, thank you very much for all the questions. I can see the stack over there, and this is exactly what we were hoping for, and I'm sorry that we don't have more time to answer your questions, but we will be providing information back out, including the PowerPoint, information from the survey, a list of the questions that were posed. And this last piece, which is also just as important, is your feedback on some of the key questions that we have for you all. So on your table, you will see one piece of paper. It's a note page, and we would like one person at your table to be the note taker. Feel free to jot your name down and your number in case we're going to need to be in touch with you to get clarity on some of these notes. And so we have until 11:10. So it's a brief period of time to have a really rich discussion, document the notes, and then at 11:10, we're going to have a large group discussion on highlights that came up in your talks. And we will close at 11:30. So thank you for digging in and diving into these really important questions. They're posted up here as well as, I think, on your agenda. Question one is the one that I asked the panel around your core values. Question two is about the greatest needs. And we're interested, we know that different communities have different needs. And we're interested in what communities you are all working with and what are the needs of those communities that you're working with. And finally, we know that when there is loss, there is sometimes opportunity. And we're wondering if you've seen some windows of opportunity open up despite all the challenge that you're experiencing. So thank you for having these conversations. And at 11:10, we'll ask you to have a large group discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.